Let's pray together, all right? Let's bow together. Precious Father, we thank You for the fact that You are a holy God. You are different. You are beyond us. And Father, not only that You are a holy God, but Father, that You have provided a way through the Holy Spirit for us to be holy men and holy women, holy fathers and holy mothers, holy wives and holy husbands. And Father, I pray tonight that You would speak to us in such a way that it would really make a difference in our lives, that we would leave these moments changed and apply the truth to our hearts. We ask that so that You might receive the glory and the dominion through our lives and our homes that You deserve. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's begin reading in Luke chapter 1, verse 26. It says, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent out from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth. And he was sent to a virgin, engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the descendants of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. Luke 1, verse 28. And coming in, he said to her, "Hail, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at this statement, and she kept pondering what kind of salutation this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb, bear a son, you shall name him Jesus. And he will be great, will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end." And then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" And then the angel told her how it was going to happen. Verse 37, he said, "Nothing will be impossible with God." And then listen to Mary's response. She said, "Behold, the bondslave of the Lord, be it done to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Now, what was it about the life of Mary in this scenario, and really all through her life, that made her so different from other women, that made her a holy woman of God? I want us to identify three or four things that have to be in your life, mothers and wives, if you're going to be the woman that God created and designed you to be and fulfill the purpose for your life, which is to so manifest Christ that the world sees the Lord Jesus in you every moment of every day and is drawn to Him and He receives glory. Two or three things. If you're going to be a holy woman, first of all, you must be a woman of humility. A woman of humility. We've talked about humility some already this week. But you notice in verses 46 and following a phenomenal expression of humility coming from the lips of Mary. Now, humility is a recognition, first of all, of who God really is. In other words, it's getting a proper perspective about God, and then in light of that, getting a proper perspective of who I really am, who God really is, and who I really am. And Mary was a woman. I don't know how all she got there, but she was a woman who lived with that kind of perspective in her heart and her mind. Look what she says here in verse 49. "For the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is His name. His mercy is upon generation and generation towards those who fear Him. He has done mighty deeds with His arm. He has scattered those who are proud." On and on. Mary, I'm sure through her study of the Word of God, through her intimate walk with the Lord, through the days and years and her intimate times with Him, had come to realize the greatness of God. She had a proper view of God. And by the way, do you know that you will never be a woman who trusts God, which is one of a woman's greatest needs in her life, to be a woman of faith? We'll see in just a moment. But you will never be a woman of faith until, first of all, you come to realize the character, the true character, and the true nature of who God really is, because you're going to only trust someone who you think is really trustworthy. And Mary knew that. Mary knew that God was a great God, and she had understood and come to understand and embrace who God really was. And not only that, she'd come to understand and embrace who she really was. There was this spirit of humility about her life. She says in verse 48, "I am a humble bondslave of the Lord." A spirit of true humility. All through the Word of God, when it speaks about the life of a woman, It speaks in terms of real humility. 1 Peter chapter 3 says this in verse 3. It says, let the adornment, your adornment of your life, not be external only, the braiding of the hair and the wearing of gold jewelry and putting on dresses, but let it be the adornment of your life, women, should be that hidden person of the heart with the imperishable quality of a gentle and a quiet spirit, which is extremely precious. Do you know that word is not used very many times in the Scripture, just two or three times? That word precious, it is a precious thing in the eyes of God when He finds a woman who has a humble, gentle, quiet spirit about her life. There's nothing more precious to God in a woman than that. Now, one of the reasons we want to pause and talk about this so much tonight is because the spirit of the world and the spirit of the women's movement in our world today is so incredibly contrary to the spirit of true humility. It is a spirit that is fostered in pride. It is a spirit that is constantly saying to women in every area, listen, you can do whatever you want to. You grab your rights. You manifest your abilities. You don't need your husband. You don't need God. All you need is yourself, and you pull yourself up by your bootstraps, and you can make something out of yourself all by yourself. But listen what the spirit that's expressed in the life of Mary was. Mary said in verse 46, my soul magnifies myself. Is that what she said? My soul magnifies my abilities. I can do anything I want to. Why, you just get out of the way and give me some room. I can do it on my own. No, what does she say? My soul exalts in and constantly is magnifying the Lord. For He is the one who is worthy of praise and adoration and honor. A real spirit of humility. Ladies, can I just pause right here and ask you a very important question? Really, we can't go beyond this. Do you have in your heart that imperishable quality of a gentle, quiet spirit? Is there the spirit, not just an outward display, that's false humility, but is there in the inner person of the heart that quality of genuine humility that sees God as the one worthy of praise, sees yourself as a humble bondslave of the Lord? Or is there creeping in your heart a spirit of pride and arrogance and self-centeredness that is opposite from the spirit of true humility? Well, to be a holy woman, I mean a woman who really is different than everybody else in the world and that manifests God, you've got to be, first of all, a woman of true humility. But secondly, not only was she a woman of humility, secondly, she was a woman of faith. And that humility really led to faith in her life. She was a woman of faith. Now, she didn't get to be a woman of faith just overnight, I don't think. And I believe in this passage of Scripture, there's a very beautiful progression of how Mary got from fear to faith. First of all, here's what happens. First of all, some situation presents itself. Now, for Mary, it was this very new thing. It's like your husband walking in and saying, honey, I've decided that we're going to move to Mexico, and I'm going to go into the lizard raising business. Some just wild haired idea and scheme. Well, all of a sudden, Mary's there one day, and all of a sudden, this fella comes up to her and said, behold, Mary, you're going to conceive and bear a son. He's going to be the Messiah. He's going to be the Savior of all the world. I mean, this was an incredible situation. And so we see that angel coming. That situation presented itself. And the Bible says in verse 29, her first response was she was troubled. She was troubled. I mean, this just kind of disturbed her. It really kind of bugged her a little bit. Ladies, you ever been bugged at something your husband did or some situation or some circumstance that came up? And from that troubled position, the Bible says in verse 29, she began to ponder. Now, you always got to watch it, fellas, when your wife starts pondering. I mean, my wife can really ponder. Women have an incredible ability to ponder. You know what pondering is? You put one thing together with another thing to come out to another conclusion. Now, the problem is with you gals a lot of time, I'm going to tell you what the problem. You can stone me later if you want to. But is it sometimes you put this together with this, and this doesn't even belong over here in the equation at all. I mean, I don't know where you got this. I don't know where it came from. And the incredible ability that a woman has, and I really believe this is true, to think of all the what-ifs of a situation. You know, I can say to my wife, I can walk in and say, honey, the finances are a little tight right now, and we're going to have to kind of watch it till the end of the month. Now, that's all I say, and that's all I mean. That's just, I mean, it's no big deal. I mean, we're just going to have to be a little careful till the end of the month. I come back, you know, an hour later, 2 hours later, my wife's crying. Or I come back and she's disturbed and she's just going around the kitchen messing with pots and pans. And I say, what's the matter? Nothing. Nothing's wrong. No, everything's okay. And then if I take the time to really talk to her and start talking to her, she has gone from things are a little tight and we need to watch the checkbook to bankruptcy. Now, how she got there, I don't know. But it was the process of pondering. She pondered that in her heart. And when we have a situation and we began to get troubled about it, we began to ponder and think of all those amazing what-ifs. And by the way, ladies, Satan is a master at throwing every doubt dart at you that he possibly can, every what-if that he possibly can, and that will lead to incredible fear. Now, you say, well, Brother Bill, how do you know that Mary was in fear? Well, because in verse 30, the angel said to her, Mary, do not be afraid. Now, the angel wouldn't have said that. God doesn't waste any words. And so, obviously, Mary was afraid. Here she was with this new situation. She was troubled by it. She began pondering it. And she moved into real fear. You know, fear can be expressed in many different ways by a woman, by a man. But fear can be expressed in a lot of different ways by a woman. Fear can be expressed in anger. And you respond out of anger, and you're doing things towards your husband or towards your children. And really, the root issue is that something has happened, some circumstances come across your pathway, and you've thought about it, and you've gotten real fearful about that issue. And so you're responding in anger, but the real issue is fear. And you haven't settled that issue. And so you're just upset, and you're frustrated, and you're mad. Or it can manifest itself in selfishness. You start pulling in your wings and you start protecting and you start grabbing your rights or grabbing your time or grabbing and holding on to your possessions. And the root of that is that you're fearful about losing those things. So you're holding on to them as tightly as you can. It can manifest itself in a drive to perfectionism. In other words, I'm just fearful that nobody's going to love me. I'm fearful that I'm not going to meet my husband's standards or my children's standards. And I have this underlying fear in my heart that if I don't perform well and if I don't do what I ought to do, then they're not going to love me and they're not going to accept me and I'm not going to be a good wife or a good mother. And my husband may even walk out the door on me one of these days. And it comes from that root of fear in our hearts. Well, Mary was a woman who was troubled. She pondered. She moved to fear. And then she did what most women, I think, did. She asked some practical questions. Women have an incredible, and I might add, a wonderful and helpful to husband's ability to ask practical questions. A husband comes in one day and says, well, honey, I thought about it, and I believe that next year I'm going to take a trip to the moon. And in his mind, he's really going to do it. I mean, he just thought about this thing. He can do it, you know. Don't mess with the details. I'm going to the moon. Next year, we're going off the moon. And the wife, some women have the ministry of deflation. Have you noticed that? And the wife says to him, how in the world are you going to make it to the moon when you can't make it from your recliner to the garbage can outside? That's incredible ability to ask practical questions. And this is what Mary did. She had this fear in her heart, and so she started firing off some of these questions. Verse 34, how can this be? I'm a virgin. This isn't possible. There's no way. There's not time. It can't happen. All of these practical questions. Now, listen carefully. If Mary had just stayed in that position, she would have lived in incredible fear. But the wonderful thing about Mary was that she then listened to God speak. She heard God. And when she heard God speak through this angel, and he gave his word, and he told her what he was going to do, then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the what? The Word of God. And she moved into incredible faith, and in verse 38 she said, Behold, the bondslave of the Lord, be it done to me according to your word. You know, there is nothing that marks a woman and makes her different from other women, and a woman who will have a phenomenal influence in this world, than to find a woman who is not a woman living and pondering and practical questions and fear, but a woman who has gone to God, heard God's word, and moved in the realm of faith and absolute confidence in God. I've seen the most wonderful illustration of that in my wife in the last 6 months. As God has been speaking to us about coming to join Life Action, my wife is a wonderful gal. I'll just brag on her a little bit. And so many times in decisions, she'll say to me, Well, honey, you just find the mind of God, and then whatever you decide is all right with me. And sometimes we operate like that. But on this decision, I said, Holly, listen, I'm going to seek to find the mind of God, but you're going to have to get before the Lord, and you've got to hear God speak, telling you. And sometime before this whole decision is made, you've got to tell me, I have heard God speak, and this is what we're to do. I believe this is what we're to do. And so she sought the Lord, and she went to God, and she heard God speak. And because she heard God speak through His Word and by His Spirit, she came to a position of faith, and she can stand now on God's Word. And no matter what we face in the next months or weeks or years, we can always go back and rest on the promises, what we've heard from God. We have heard God speak. We have heard God speak. Can I just pause right here and say something else to you ladies and to men alike? Do you know that one day when you stand before God, it's not going to be as you stand before the judgment seat of Christ, Mr. and Mrs. Ella. It's not going to be Mr. and Mrs. St. Clair. It's going to be Nancy St. Clair standing before God. It's going to be Holly Eliff standing before a holy God. And Holly Eliff, on her own, without her husband, is going to have a given accounting of her life. And the Bible says, without faith, it's impossible to please God, and whatsoever is not of faith is sin. So the greatest issue in life for a woman is to get to a position where she, on her own, by herself, is a woman who is daily seeking God about the issues of her life, hearing the particular Word of God to her heart, and then moving from fear into the realm of faith. When a circumstance comes, she may ponder it. She may ask all those practical questions. But dear lady, if you do not go to God's Word, you will never be a woman of faith. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. And without faith, you will be consumed by your fear. And you will live in fear and worry and anxiety. And that will lead to contention and strife and nagging and a whole realm of problems in your life, see. So to be a woman of holiness, I must first of all be a woman who is a woman of humility. I see who God is, and I see who I am. And then I see God so much that when an issue comes in my life, I don't run around here and there and ask the neighbors and look to the soap operas to give me the answer. I go to God directly by myself to hear the Lord. And He brings me to the position of faith. And the final thing that marked Mary as a woman of tremendous holiness was, out of that humility, and I believe out of that faith, she became a woman of great submission. You say, well, I knew He was going to get to that before it was all over with. That terrible word, submission. Listen, you can't talk about how to be a holy woman without using that word, because it's a key word used all through the Scriptures. Ephesians chapter 5, Colossians chapter 3, 1 Peter chapter 3, on and on through the Scripture, it speaks of a woman being a woman of submission. Do you know what that word means? You've heard a lot of explanations. The word is hupoiko. Hupo means under, iko to yield, and so literally the word just means to yield under. To yield under. And we could give a lot of definitions of submission. You've heard many. But can I give you this possible definition? And that is, submission is that inner attitude that joyfully recognizes and yields to the God-ordained structure of the home. That inner attitude. Submission is just not an external thing. Like the little boy who was reprimanded by his mother and told to sit down, and he said, "Well, I'm sitting down on the outside, but I'm standing up on the inside." That's not the idea of real submission. Submission is an inner attitude. An inner attitude that recognizes and rejoices and embraces and yields to the God-ordained structures of her life. Now, let me just say to you how important the first two characteristics that we talked about tonight are in order to get you to be a woman of real submission. You see, a woman of pride won't yield to anybody. And she thinks she knows her own way, and there's no way that she's going to do it. A woman of fear is a woman that will never come to submission because she'll never trust her husband. I mean, she knows her husband, and she knows he's fallible, and she knows he makes mistakes. She would never trust her husband. So a woman who's going to be a holy woman must first of all be a woman of humility who really believes in God. She believes who God is, and she believes that God is worthy to be trusted. And then out of that, she comes to a position of faith, and she says, "Lord, regardless of what winds may blow, I believe in You, and You've told me that I am to yield under the authority of You, and I am to yield under the authority of my husband and be submissive and responsive to him." And do you know where real submission comes from? It doesn't come just from faith in your husband. You know, husbands are incredibly fallible. I mean, they make some real gargantuan errors. But the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 3, this amazing statement, it talks about the holy women of old who submitted to their husbands. And you know what the basis of that submission was? It says they hoped in God. They hoped in God. Listen to what he's saying. Here's a wife who may have a lost husband. Here's a wife who may have a godless husband. Here's a wife who may have a husband that's not doing all that he ought to be. But the woman may not have a good basis for trusting in that husband, but she has every basis in the world to believe that God is a good and a faithful and a trustworthy God. And God says, "I want you to yield under that husband. That is my plan for you. That's how I'm going to mold you and make you into what you ought to be. That's how I'm going to use you as an illustration to your children. That's how I'm going to use you to meet the needs of your husband and show him what life is all about. That's how I'm going to use you to make a distinctive difference in this pride-filled, fear-filled world. I want you to be a woman who, without any fear, will yield under your husband, not out of faith in him so much, but because you believe in me. And I've told you to do it. And I know what's best." I love that little verse in Romans 12, 2. It says, "The will of God is good and acceptable and perfect." That word means complete. It lacks absolutely nothing. Do you realize what he's saying? The will of God for your life is good. It's always good. It is acceptable and it is perfect. It is complete. God's plan for your life lacks absolutely nothing. Now, do you believe that? Really believe that? Then, when you go to your homes tonight and tomorrow and the next day, and the Spirit of God says, "Yield under, be in subjection, as Christ was to God, you be in subjection to your husband. You yield under him." Now, do you believe the will of God is good? It's perfect. God knows what He's saying. God knows what He's about. God knows what He's up to. Then, not just a matter of trusting your husband, you trust God. Do you want the blessing of God upon your life? You know what the blessing of God is? The blessing of God is when God takes something normal and He makes it abnormal, beyond normality. Let me give you an illustration in closing. One day a little boy came to Jesus, and there wasn't enough food. And he said, "I've got 5 loaves and 2 fishes, just normal old stuff, just a normal sack lunch." And the Bible says that Jesus took those five loaves and two fish and He blessed them. And suddenly the blessing of God came upon that. And those five loaves and two fish fed over 5,000 people. Now that's God's blessing. God's blessing is when something so happens to a home that it goes beyond being just a normal, run-of-the-mill home with strife and contention and envy and bitterness and fear and worry and nagging and contention and anxiety. And it goes beyond that. The blessing of God comes upon it. And suddenly that home is filled with life and love and joy and harmony and peace. And it's so different from everything else in the world. Would you like that kind of blessing, God's blessing, on your home? Well, do you know that two or three times in this passage here in Luke chapter 1, God speaks about Mary and says, Mary, you are a blessed person. You are a blessed person. The blessing of God is going to come on your life in an incredible way and set you apart as a different woman from every other woman that's around you. Why? Because Mary was willing to be a woman of humility. A woman who, when she heard staggering situations, tough circumstance, was a woman who went from trouble and pondering and asking practical questions to getting before the Lord and hearing God's Word and moving into absolute faith, and a woman who moved in submission to her God and who yielded to the divine structure and order that God had ordained for her life. And you can be a holy woman of God. There's not one woman in this room. I can start right over here with these folks, go down every row, all the way across the middle, all the way across here, all the way over to Nancy. There's not one woman in this room that could not be a great, great champion for God. You say, well, I've passed my years of being a great champion. You've got a good Arkansas term for that, hogwash. God can take you right where you are if you will yield to Him and respond quickly and obediently to Him and be a holy woman of God. Precious Father, we love You. We thank You for the fact that You have chosen us. Oh God, the great miracle that You, before the foundation of the world, You called us by name, and for some reason You have desired to set us apart as Your children, as a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that we might proclaim the excellencies of Him who called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. I pray, Father, we would fulfill our destiny and our calling, and we would walk worthy of the high calling. And Father, You would raise up in this place holy women and holy men of God. For Your sake we ask it. Amen.